Thank you, Jesus, that you are King of Kings. And once again, we're so grateful that you were able to enter the city triumphantly. And then, Lord, forgive us for putting you on that cross, for placing you in that position that because of our sin, you went and covered our iniquities. You atoned for us. You redeemed us, and you're our Savior. And we're so grateful, God. Help us to live that out in the way we think, the way we talk and walk, and what we do. Help us to love you fully, Lord Jesus. Amen. We are still in Ephesians chapter 6. We're up to the second half of verse 18. And kind of putting the armor of God behind us, but it's not really behind us, it's on us. And so the concept of putting on the full armor of God, I probably should just go back and read where that section started. All kinds of good things in here. In verse 10, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. That's why we're wearing the armor of God, is there's an enemy. He's scheming against God's people, and how are we going to take a stand? We can't do it in our own strength, but with the armor of God, which really, when we talked about it, every piece of armor points us to Christ. If we're putting on Christ, we can stand against the enemy's schemes. And then today's verse 18, pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. That was last week. It's like, pray prayers all the time. Don't ever stop. And then this week, with this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Before I start jumping ahead to verses, what I'm going to do today is show you some verses where Jesus prayed for people that are in Christ. The whole concept of, you know, what does it mean to be in Christ? Some of Paul's prayers for Christians, and just looking at what, if we're asked to always pray and we're supposed to be alert and in our minds, I mean, this is not just kind of a touchy-feely, oh, let's have a nice spirit and feel good about others. I know sometimes people hear that someone's hurting and they say, well, we're going to send thoughts your way. Well, what does that mean? It's like, no, we can link arms like we talked about when the shield what was set up, it could be tied and linked together. The body of Christ together is stronger than any one of us will be alone. And so this verse is reminding us again that we're going to keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Why would we do that? Because we need all the Lord's people. Without all the Lord's people, we're weaker. And so we need to alert our minds, be ready. What do we think about? Do we think about everything except for, hey, God's in control and he's powerful and he can solve these things? And he's going to use Christians. I don't know why he does, because we're kind of weak and whatever. But it's like he can use Christians to take care of some of the issues that are taking place in the world today. I sometimes feel like that big ship that's stuck in the Suez Canal right now. We're just kind of turned sideways and we can't move and we need a lot of help. And they're getting lots and lots of help trying to figure out how to get that thing dislodged and moving again. Because the storms of life come at us. And when the storms of life come at us, that's one of the schemes of the devil. How can he get us immobilized? How can he stop us in our tracks so that we're not moving forward and we're not doing the work of the Lord? I mean, it's like we can be out there helping others, or we can be stuck in one spot. Now, I'm sure you've all seen, maybe not, but the pictures. It's like Suez Canal's pretty big. This ship's just stuck there and blocking the whole thing. And it's not just stopping that ship in from going. There's over 300 ships waiting, trying to decide, do we take an extra 6 days and go around a different way? Or do we go through here? It's like, those are some major decisions that need to take place. All because of one little sandstorm and a wind that came up. You ever feel like you're just kind of stuck and you're not moving forward? That's it happens. And it's time to say, okay, how are we going to pray for all the Lord's people? Because when all the Lord's people come together, there's great power. And then that stuckness is going to get unstuck, and we're going to start flowing again. And all the hundreds that are waiting behind us for us to get out of the way are going to be able to start moving forward too. And I don't want to be that one blocking everything. I mean, that's kind of embarrassing. You know, the whole world's watching, and you're this big ship from Taiwan is just stuck. And yet, how many times have people looked at us and said, oh, if that's what a Christian's like, I don't want to be one of those. We don't want to be that individual that's keeping others from flowing where they need to go so that they can be productive. John 13 says, a new command I give you. This is Jesus speaking to the disciples. Love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Why would I put that verse in there? It doesn't say anything about prayer, right? Because today's all about prayer, praying for all of the believers. You're not going to pray for people you don't care about. This whole concept of praying for all of those that are the Lord's, it's... Jesus loves everyone. And if we can get that in our mind, if we can be alert to the fact that we need one another, then we're more likely to pray for one another. If we can keep that in mind, we'll be able to move forward. Did you know that the best testimony for the world is if we love one another? People that walk by this church, walking their dogs or whatever, or people that are in the community and know who attend here, and they're looking around and it's like, well, they don't even like each other. Wouldn't want to be part of that group. But, you know, it's like, they're going to know we're Christians by our love. They're going to know that we care. And, you know, Jesus loved so much that he came to the world and said, I'm going to try to help all those people that need me join my family. I'd like to die for them so that they don't have to die. I'd like to live for them so that they can know how to live. And I'd like to show them that I'm fixing a place for them in heaven. All they've got to do is just accept and move in. And if we love one another that way, I think we can move forward with our minds alert enough to pray for one another. We can forget to pray for each other if we don't care about each other. It's that simple. Here's Jesus. In chapter 17, he's praying, and this is how he's praying for before he goes to the cross. He's ready to go to the cross, and what's on his mind, yeah, he did say, Father, if you can take this cup from me, do that, please, but your will but not mine be done. But he also started praying for his disciples. He prayed for all of those that had been following him, all of those that the Father had given him, and he talked about how he was going to hold on to them, and, you know, they would never be removed from the fellowship. And then he says, my prayer is not for them only. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. Now, how are you going to get the message of the disciples? Well, it's in Scripture. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, all of the New Testament books. This is what was written. It's like when the book of Acts takes place. It's the apostles that had been waiting around for Holy Spirit to fill them, and then they started. The church was growing leaps and bounds, you know, thousands a day. And then these documents were written, and we were the ones that Jesus is praying for, those who believe in me through their message. Well, the message comes through Scripture, that all of them may be one. This is what Christ's heart was. I'm praying that all of those people that believe, that they're going to be one. They're going to be united. They're going to be together, loving one another. Be one, Father, just as you are in me and I'm in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. This is the best testimony for the world is, do you love each other? Are you one with the Father? Are you one with the Son? Are you together with one another? I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. So that passage in John 17, if you've never read through John 17, that's what I call the true Lord's Prayer. This is a documented prayer of how Jesus prays. And what's he praying for? He's praying that we can all love each other, that we can be united in one. Now here's a verse. If you weren't here when my friend Nick got to speak, it was pretty good. And if you missed it, it's actually online. And so you can look it up and you can listen to it. He spoke on Ephesians 2:22. In him, in Christ, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. So when we're praying for one another, let's realize that the church, the body of Christ, believers, anyone that follows the way, that's a follower of Jesus, you're part of the body of Christ. You're a dwelling place for the Holy Spirit. You're a dwelling place for God. God dwells in his church. He lives in his church. That's beyond understanding, I would think. And yet, if you want to understand it better, listen to that message. You can find it. It's in the Ephesians list. It's got Nick's name by it, and it says Ephesians 2:22. It's all there. Ephesians 1, you know, here's Paul is writing to a group of Christians, and he's saying, for this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people. What's that theme again? It's like, okay, I've heard about you people. You all love each other. And ever since I heard about that, I've not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I'm going to pray for you because I know you're part of this body that I'm saying that we're all supposed to take mind and be alert and pray for, is all of the followers of Jesus. So I know you're part of that group, and so I'm going to pray for you, Paul says. I remember you, and when I'm praying, part of my prayer is thank you. Prayers of thanksgiving, just praising God. Thank you, Lord. You've shown these people who you are, and they accepted it, and they love each other, and this is exciting. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. It's like, you know, that I already know you've got love for each other. I want you to have more wisdom, more revelation, more understanding, so that you may know him better. The more we know God, the better we're going to be able to function. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people. You know that as being people of Jesus, you're part of a glorious inheritance. It's kind of exciting. And his incomparably great power for us who believe. This is how Paul prays for the people that he knows are followers of Jesus. So when it tells us in Ephesians 6:18, you're supposed to pray for all those followers of Jesus, how do you do that? What do you do? It's like, well, thank you that they exist, because I don't want to try to do this alone. Thank you that they've got love for one another. Help them to have more knowledge and more understanding of who you are, God, and all of the ways that you've chosen to bless them. And you know that it's like when Abraham was told that he was going to be blessed so that he could be a blessing to all nations. And it's the same thing for us. We're going to be blessed so that we can be a blessing to others. It's not something you hold on to. The more you let it go, the more blessing there is. It's kind of, I don't know, I'm going to get weird and go back to Old Testament. You know that there's, in the book of Leviticus, there's all these lists of rules about, like, if an animal dies and he falls in some water, that water's unclean and it's impure and it's terrible and you can't touch it. And you know, there's all this weird stuff, right? But there's a little caveat in there. It's like, but if the water is a spring or a flowing river, you can still use that water. Because as long as it's moving and flowing, it's not going to be considered unclean. Mm-hmm. So, we got to realize that the body of Christ needs to be alive and flowing out blessings. If we try to hold on to those blessings and just become a puddle, it's like there's a lot of churches that are just puddles, right? Let's be honest. Have you ever been to one of those churches? Have you ever been one of those people that's a Christian puddle? Thank you, Jesus, for blessing me now. Let me hold on to that. I don't want to let any of that go.
It's like, no, we want to be in the water that's flowing. Let's get in that group of people that's still got the water flowing and moving, because if something dead falls on us and there's some impurity or some uncleanness that touches us, that's going to get washed away a whole lot quicker. Okay? You don't have to wait all these extra days, and it's got lists of how many days and whatever. And it's like, no, we want to be in the flowing, living water. And we want to be part of that, that's blessing others so that we're not holding on to it all the time. Ephesians 3. So we're still in Ephesians, but we jumped a couple chapters here. You know, Paul just keeps on praying. When he says we're always supposed to be praying all the time in all circumstances for all the people, he keeps saying all and all and all and ever. He models that. Because in his books, in his epistles, in his letters that he writes, he keeps on throwing prayers in there. He goes between praising God and having doxology and then praying. And it's all kind of like there's a big conversation. He's continually speaking with God. As Holy Spirit is giving him words to write down so that we can have this document so that more people can meet Jesus, a lot of it is just it's a conversation with God. It's prayer. And if we can learn from his modeling, Paul's one of these people that was actually able to say, you know, you should be like me because I'm like Christ. Okay, now, if you know me very well, don't be like me. Okay, but if you see the parts where I'm actually flowing in Christ, you can do that. Yeah, be like that. And Paul was able to kind of get to that point where he almost was always there. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love... Okay, so he knows that they've got love. He's already talked about that back a couple chapters ago. That you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge. You're supposed to know something that's beyond knowledge. God, can we get that kind of knowledge? It gets worse or better, depending on how you look at it, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. I'm not that big. Body of Christ, we're supposed to be filled with the measure of all the fullness of God. And Paul's hope is that you never stop. God is immense, and if you can get to that point, then you've reached maturity. Then you've gotten your message from God on who you're supposed to be and how you're supposed to be it. And he's just praying that they would be that. He's almost implying that he's there. I think he knows he's not there, because you hear him praying other times about how he's not quite right. But I love that. Here's Paul again, different book, same author. This is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes from Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. It's like we want to be filled with the fullness, the full measure of God. We want to be filled with the Spirit because he's going to be dwelling in us. We want to be filled with the righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ. This is what it's all about. It's like God in us. Here's Paul in the book of Colossians. You may notice that there's some similarities as he's writing to different people. Have you ever had to sit down and write letters to more than one person kind of at the same time in your life? Do you find some of the same phrases flowing out of your pen or typewriter or whatever computer that you're using? It's like, yeah, I'm going to write a letter, but it's like, okay. I wish I knew that feeling, because I don't really write that much. Okay, I confess, I'm not very good at communicating with others in that manner. But for this reason, since the day we heard about you, we've not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work. That sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. Again, if there's, okay, we can go back to Ephesians 2:22, and again, listen to the next message if you missed that. It's like God wants to dwell in his people. He wants to be evident in our lives. And that's going to include all kinds of glory flying out of us. Okay? Kathy's got a weird little thing she watches on the computer she does with a game that it's a little kid's game sometimes. Mm-hmm. And they've got these things where as the little characters are moving around the screen, sometimes they got rainbows coming out of the backside. I mean, it's like... When people see us, everything about us should be just saying, God is with that person. That's people should be looking at us and saying, that's a peculiar person. That person is weird. Why are they so happy in such a crazy world? Okay, that's what we should be doing. It's just shining forth something this glory, Do people know that you got a great inheritance, or are they thinking that you're a miser and you just don't have anything to share? And again, if we let it flow, the more we give away, the more we're going to have. Back to Philippians. I thank my God every time I remember you. I love that. In all my prayers for all of you, there's a whole bunch of alls in Paul's language, isn't there? I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It's like, I'm so glad that God's in your life, and I know that you're still kind of screwed up and you're messed up and you got some problems, but God's going to make you whole, and I trust, I have confidence that he's going to finish the work he started. Remember back in the 60s, those little buttons people had, it's like, please be patient with me, God is not finished with me yet. He's got more work to do, but he's doing it, and I trust that he will. Colossians, we always thank God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all God's people. It's like, okay, we've heard about all these things. We're going to keep on praising God and thanking him because I know he's working in you. So when you're trying to figure out, okay, how do I pray for all of God's people? How do I pray for all of the Lord's group of followers? Well, just like Paul was. Even when you see problems and flaws in our lives, thank God that he's working on this person. Thank God that it's not finished yet. Ever been irritated by somebody and you find out they're Christian and you kind of embarrassed them? You don't have to be embarrassed. You can just keep loving people. It's like, okay, I know. I've got my problems too. I sure hope that people aren't embarrassed by me. And it's like, okay, God's going to keep working on me. He's going to work on them. Somehow we're all going to get to heaven and figure out we were pretty messed up, weren't we? Isn't it nice that we get to be together now for eternity? And keep on growing and learning. I don't know how that's going to work. 1 Thessalonians. We always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers. Always, continually, all. We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith. Okay? Here's the thing. If we've got faith, you don't want to be the puddle, right? You're not going to be that person, oh, I've got my faith on. I've got my fire insurance policy. I'm not going to hell. I'm going to go to heaven. I'm going to hold on to that. I'm a Christian. I signed the paper. It's like, no, if you've got faith, there's going to be works that come out of it. Faith will produce works. We're not saved by works, but we're saved by grace, and it produces works in us. Paul's thankful. He's recognizing that your work produced by faith, your labor promoted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. You've got faith, love, and hope, and all of that's going to increase the testimony, the work that you can do in the community. It's going to make things better for those around you. You know we're supposed to be salt and light, preserving the world around us? If we're not happy with blessing where we are, we're not listening to God. He's like, yeah, this is your temporary home. You get to have your permanent home in heaven. But by the time you get there, you need to know how to practice love where you are. So in your temporary home, love people. Pray for your leaders. Pray for the mayor. Pray for the council. Pray for all of the people that are in this town, all the business owners. Pray for them so that they can succeed, so that they can do well. Okay? And a note on that, in a couple of weeks, the deli's going to reopen. We can pray for them, but you also should probably go buy something. Okay? It's not like, there's ways to keep businesses that need help in business. You patronize them. 2 Thessalonians. So we were in 1 Thessalonians 1. Now 2 Thessalonians, he's writing a letter to the same group of people again. It's written to him before. He says, we ought always to thank God for you, brothers and sisters, and rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more. He's saying, yeah, last time I wrote to you, I prayed kind of like this, but it hasn't stopped. I know that you're still growing. Your faith's getting better. We already had faith that produced works, right? Your faith is growing more and more, and the love of all... The love all of you have for one another is increasing. So it's like, it was good before. I was able to thank God for it before. Now it's even better. Which reminds me of when I was a student teacher. A college professor came, he observed me, gave me a really glowing report. We sat down and had the conversation. I've shared this before, and one of the things he shared with me was, if you're still teaching like this 5 years from now, you need to quit. Like, because you need to be growing, you need to be improving, you need to be getting better. That's part of life. That's the cycle of where we're supposed to go with things. Well, if you know, you were saved 25, 35, how many years ago? For me, it was 61 years ago. I've been saved, walking with God for 61 years, not very well some of those years, but been with Him that long. If I'm still like the 4-year-old sitting on a little red chair, and that's the only testimony I've got. That's a good testimony. I love that my mom sat me down and told me about Jesus. And it's like, yeah, I know I'm a sinner. I called the mailman bad names because his name was Red, and I said things to him like, Red, wet the bed. You know, rocking up a thing of Red. And that was just one of the nicer things I've done as a child. Rocks through windows. I mean, I was not a nice kid. Okay? I was 4. I knew I was a sinner at 4. Thankfully, God grabbed me before I learned how to do all those older things. You know, anyway. Here, the Thessalonians are being praised because not only did they have works that came from their faith, but they're growing and increasing in those works. It's getting better. Their love for one another is improving and growing. It's increasing. Philemon. This is a book that's written to a guy that owned a slave. And that comes up later in the little short letter. But in this part, he's like, I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers, because I hear about your love for all of His people and your faith in the Lord Jesus. By the way, in the introduction, it's not just written to Philemon. It's like you and your wife and that church that meets in your house. So all of them were included in the letter. And so he's writing again about the group of people, the body of Christ, in little local fellowship. Hebrews 10. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is His body, we can enter the Holy of Holies because of Jesus. His body was torn for us. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. For He who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. If we're praying for one another, let's also find a way to, it's like, okay, tell people, I prayed for you today. Spur one another on to love and good deeds. When you need prayer, tell people, I need prayer. Let's not try to hide the problems that are going on in our lives. Let's be transparent with one another. And it better be a safe place, because, you know, it's like you're not supposed to take something somebody shares with you and bring it back up 6 months later or 6 years later or 60 years later. You know, sometimes we as humans, we forget that we're supposed to forget those things that have been forgiven. And they come back up in the wrong format, and it's like, no, it needs to be safe. And in marriage, we have those problems sometimes, right? We're having an argument, and it's like, well, but do you remember what you said when... No, I don't remember. I'm getting old. That's one of the blessings of being able to start forgetting things better. Today's text. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all of the Lord's people. Amen.